Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, if you'd like to join in your own Bible or a pew Bible. Jeremiah 29, we'll be looking at the first seven verses. But before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, day in and day out, hour in and hour out, we hear many words. Words that would seek to influence us. Words that would seek to change us, provoke us, lead us. Father, in the midst of these many words that we hear, we pray that you would speak your word to us clearly. May we hear your word, your holy word, above all words. Father, through your word, influence us, change us, provoke us, lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 29, the first seven verses. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the metalworkers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Acts chapter 7 as we continue our study of the book of Acts. We're in Acts 7, verse 54. We're going to finish chapter 7, and we're going to look at the very beginning of chapter 8. Acts 7, verse 54. "Now, when they had heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Stephen was before the council. Stephen was before the religious leaders. Stephen was before the powerful and the influential, the wealthy and the prominent, the movers and the shakers. And he was on trial. Stephen was accused of blasphemy. He was accused of speaking against God, and if found guilty, this was a charge that was punishable by death. Stephen was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. He was a Jew who had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of the living God who had come to conquer sin and overthrow death and defeat the evil one. Stephen was a leader in the church. He was a deacon. He was one who led through service. But Stephen was also teaching and preaching about Jesus. Stephen was doing great miracles that pointed to Jesus. And opposition arose against him. Rumors were spread about him. False witnesses testified against him. And Stephen found himself before the council accused of blasphemy. And Stephen defended himself in the longest sermon in the book of Acts, a sermon that we looked at last week. And in this sermon, Stephen recounted the history of God's people in the Old Testament. And through this history, Stephen turns the table on his accusers. Stephen shows that the scriptures actually support his teaching about Jesus and convicts those who were accusing him. The council, the religious leaders that he was standing before, did not like what they heard. They understood very well what Stephen was saying, and they did not like it at all. They were angry with Stephen. In fact, they were enraged with Stephen. Now, in the ESV, the Pew Bibles, the word enraged in verse 54. The word enraged is actually a translation of a Greek phrase. It's a whole phrase. And that phrase that is translated enraged is literally ripped in their hearts. They heard Stephen's words, and they were ripped in their hearts, cut through their hearts. This phrase describes a visceral, emotive reaction of anger, deep, seated anger, rage. And such rage was in their hearts. Their hearts were cut so much by rage that they also had a physical reaction with the rage. What was in their hearts came through their bodies. By this phrase, they ground their teeth at him. They ground their teeth at him out of anger, like wild animals. Like predators circling prey. Now, have you ever felt a deep-seated rage before? Have you ever felt an almost out of control anger where you seem to lose sense? Or have you ever witnessed it? If you haven't actually experienced it, have you ever witnessed it? Have you ever seen somebody who was ripped in their heart with rage and displaying it physically? It can be scary. Well, these men with authority and power, these men who could sentence Stephen to death, were grinding their teeth at him in rage. But Stephen wasn't filled with fear. That would be me. Stephen wasn't filled with terror. He wasn't overcome by anxiety. No. We're told that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. God is present with Stephen at this moment. And therefore, Stephen had peace, and he had assurance, and he had serenity before this raging council. And we're also told that he receives a vision. He receives a revelation from God. Stephen has a vision from heaven and a vision of Jesus. Listen to verse 55 again. This is verse 55. Stephen gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So Stephen, oppressed and persecuted and on trial and before those who were enraged, grinding their teeth at him, he's facing death. God is with Stephen, and God allows Stephen to see Jesus, allows him to see the one whom he believed in, the one that he served, the one that he proclaimed, the one for whom he was on trial. God allows him to see him in his glory, in heaven, at God's right hand, the position of power and the position of honor and the position of authority. Now, Stephen is so enraptured by this vision of heaven, he's so exhilarated by this revelation that he declares it to the council. Stephen proclaims to the enraged, teeth-gnashing religious leaders that he sees Jesus, that he sees Jesus at the right hand of God. And with these words, once Stephen spoke these words, the circling predators pounce. With these words, a deluge of anger and rage and fury is unleashed upon Stephen. Listen to verse 57. This is verse 57. But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him. They cried out. They screamed in rage. They yelled in fury, and they covered their ears. Like children who wish to shut out the world, they covered their ears. In their estimation, in this religious council's estimation, Stephen's own words convicted him. They heard enough. Why? Because nobody could sit at the right hand of God. Nobody can be at the right hand of God. No man could be at the right hand of God. Nobody was holy enough to be at God's right hand. Nobody was righteous enough to be at God's right hand. Nobody was worthy enough to be at God's right hand. But Jesus is. But Jesus is. Jesus is God made man. He is God in the flesh. He is holy. He is righteous. He is worthy, making a way for you to God. Making a way for you to know God and to be in the presence of God. Because on your own, you can't. On your own, you can't. Because of sin, you can't. But Jesus did it for you. Jesus did it for you. And his presence with the Father, the fact that Jesus is present at the Father's right hand, his presence with the Father is a pledge for you. It's a pledge for you. It's a promise to you that in him you can be with God. In him you can be in the presence of God, enjoying God now and forever. But those who were listening to Stephen did not believe. They had rejected Jesus, and they refused to hear any more. They refused to hear any more blasphemies from Stephen. So, screaming in rage, covering their ears to block out any more words, they rushed upon Stephen. They grabbed Stephen. They took Stephen outside of the city, and there they stoned him. They stoned him. They picked up rocks and they pummeled Stephen with them because of his faith. Because of Jesus. Now, this appears to be a raging mob. I mean, wild and angry and chaotic. But there is some semblance of order that's given in our passage. And here's what I mean. God's law required that if somebody was guilty of a crime that was punishable by stoning, that those who witnessed the crime, that the accusers of the crime, they were to cast the first stones. They were to throw first. So we are told that those who witnessed against Stephen, that those who falsely accused Stephen, that they took off their outer garments. Why did they take off their outer garments? I mean, it's just simple, practical. It's because it's so stone throwing would be easier. That's why they took off their outer garments. But we're told this because we're told that they laid them at the feet of a man named Saul. We're going to hear a lot more about this man, Saul. in our study of Acts. But here, Saul was present at Stephen's death. Saul watched Stephen's death. Saul approved of Stephen's death. And Stephen was stoned. A brutal way to die. But as the crowd pelted him with rock after rock, as Stephen received blow after blow, he spoke these words in verse 59. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And Stephen's final words were a prayer. His final words weren't a curse. His final words were not a cry of injustice. His final words were a prayer. And this prayer was not for himself, but this prayer was for those who lied about him. This prayer was for those who falsely testified against him. This prayer was for those who raged against him, at whose hands he was being unjustly slain, murdered. Stephen asked the Lord to forgive them. Would you have done the same? Would I have done the same? Now, more than likely you haven't been stoned. I haven't ever been stoned. But I'm certain that some point in your life you've been treated unjustly. At some point in your life, you've been lied about. At some point in your life, you've been spoken against. You've been rejected. You've been beat down. You've been wounded. You've been scarred. Maybe more than once. Have you ever asked the Lord to forgive them? Have you forgiven them? Or if you just feel like you can't, have you ever asked God to give you the strength to be able to forgive those who wounded you or hurt you? Well, Stephen did. And then we're told he fell asleep. He fell asleep. This is actually a jarring image that we're given here. You have an angry mob throwing stones. You have Stephen, who's beaten and bloodied, and he falls asleep. You have a beautiful, peaceful end in the midst of an ugly, brutal act. Now, the word die isn't used. The word expire isn't used. But Stephen fell asleep. Asleep means it's a temporary state. Asleep means that it's not permanent, that it's not everlasting, that it's not eternal. Because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Stephen will rise. Stephen will wake up. Stephen will live again. And so can you. So will you, through faith in him. In Jesus Christ, death is only sleep. Stephen fell asleep. And he was the first martyr. The first death because of faith in Jesus Christ. Martyr is from the Greek word that means witness. That's literally what martyr means, witness. The Greek word, witness. A martyr is a witness to Jesus Christ. A martyr points to Jesus Christ in their death. Through their death. Their blood points to their faith in Jesus. And Stephen was the first. But there have been countless other martyrs down through the centuries. And don't make the mistake of thinking it was just in the ancient world. Not just in the ancient world. Even in very recent times. More Christians died for their faith in the 20th century. The 20th century. 19 years ago, the 100 years before that. More Christians died for their faith in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined, as far as we know. 70 million Christians died in the 20th century for their faith. 15 million Christians died in Soviet camps between 1921 and 1950. 15 million. And current estimates are 100,000 Christians are martyred annually around the world. And pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. Pray for your brothers and sisters where they are oppressed around the world, where their lives are on the line simply for faith in Jesus. And there are groups that you can learn more specifics about, groups like Open Doors and Voices of the Martyrs. You can find out more about persecuted Christians around the world. Now, the status of the church in our culture has changed over the past 50 years or more, but we are still free. We are still free, free to worship, free to gather, without fear, without duress, without retribution. I pray that that continues. But the question is, what if it wasn't? What if it wasn't? Would that change your faith? Would that change your witness? Would you still be here? Stephen was the first martyr. And Stephen's death resulted in a great persecution against the church, a great oppression to followers of Jesus. Now, prior to the death of Stephen, only the apostles had been persecuted. Only the Jesus-appointed leaders of the church had been oppressed. The apostles had been jailed, they'd been threatened, they had been beaten. But now the whole church was being persecuted, not just the leaders, but everybody. And this persecution was led by Saul. Here's Saul again. Listen to verse 3. Again, of our passage. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Saul ravaged the church, going from house to house looking for believers. He didn't even spare women. He dragged men and women alike to prison. Paul wanted to stamp out this blasphemous aberration of a religion. But what is of God cannot be stopped by man. What is of God cannot be stopped by a man or many men or nations of men. God's plan, God's will shall be done. And God's will was the spread of the gospel. God's will was that more and more people would come to hear about Jesus. God's will was that the church would grow, that lives would be transformed, that families would be transformed, that communities would be transformed, that cities would be transformed through Jesus Christ. And as the persecution grew, as more and more people were dragged to prison, what else happened? Well, Christians started leaving Jerusalem. Christians started getting out of Jerusalem. Fearing for their lives, they left Jerusalem. They fled Jerusalem, and they fled to the nearby regions around Jerusalem, around the city, Judea and Samaria. Listen to the end of verse 1 again. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles stayed. They stayed in Jerusalem, but many were scattered, we're told. Now, there are, in Greek, there's two words that translate scatter, two words. And these two words translated scatter have different senses. One means scatter as in disperse, like you scatter a flock of birds and they're gone. But the word scatter in our passage means to disperse, to plant. You scatter to plant. As in seeds are planted. So God's people were scattered from Jerusalem, but they were planted elsewhere. And this had happened before in the history of God's people. Our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah refers to just such a time. And in the 6th century BC, Jerusalem was destroyed. In the 6th century BC, Jerusalem's walls were toppled, the temple was in rubble, and God's people were carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. They had lost everything. They lost family, they'd lost friends, they'd lost their homes, they lost their land. They were in a city that they did not choose to be in. They were in a place that they didn't want to be in. They were wondering, did God abandon them? And the prophet Jeremiah sent these exiles a letter with a message from the Lord. And listen again to part of this letter from Jeremiah. The Lord tells his people in exile, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives for your son, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And God's people were scattered, But God desired that they be planted, that they settle, that they not just be in Babylon ready to leave any minute, but God wanted them to take root. God wanted them to build houses and plant gardens and have children and grandchildren and desire good for where they lived, praying for where they lived, and not forgetting who they were and where they were from. But God scattered them in order to be planted, just like the persecuted Christians in Acts. The persecuted Christians in Acts, they had lost their homes, they were forced out of Jerusalem, they were exiled, but God planted them. They were scattered, but God planted them. And here's why. Listen to verse 4 again. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Wherever they were planted, they took root and they bore fruit for the Lord, preaching the word about Jesus. Proclaiming the good news about Jesus, telling other people about Jesus, and the gospel spread, and the church grew, and more people were able to hear about Jesus. More and more people were able to come to faith in Jesus because of the death of Stephen. Because of persecution. God is still at work when his people are persecuted. God is still at work when the church is persecuted. Now, in your life, have you ever been scattered? Have you ever been dispersed from home, from the familiar, where God guided you or led you to a new city or a new town or a new location because of your education or because of your work or because of retirement? Or maybe you had to go because your parents moved for education or work. Now look, when this happens, or when it has happened to you in the past, it's no coincidence. God has you there for a reason. If that's true for you in Jackson right now, God has you in Jackson for a reason. So take root. Be planted. Make it your home, even if it's only for 4 years or 3 years or 2 years. Bear fruit. Pray for the welfare of the city. Pray for the good of the city. Be salt and be light for Jesus Christ, that others may see the hope that you have, the love that you have, the joy that you have, that others may see your witness. That's your witness. So that others may see your witness, just like they saw the witness of Stephen. May that be so for each of us. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you that you are with your people, you are with your church, even where they are persecuted. We thank you, Father, that you used Stephen, the first martyr. You used him in a mighty way at that moment and even after his death. That because of the persecution of the church, your church grew. Your church was faithful. That you scattered your people so that they might be planted, so that your will would be done, and so that more would come to know Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be planted, to grow and to bear fruit for you. May we pray for and desire the welfare of the city that we live in, here in Jackson, or if that's Madison or Clinton or Ridgeland. Father, may we pray for the welfare of the city where you have placed us, so that it might be well with us, so that your word might grow and increase, and so that lives might be transformed through your son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.